Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 261, recorded August 4th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello, hello.
I'm just coming off of being sick, so hopefully I'll make sense and be coherent.
But if you're not coherent, it will be entertaining. Because that's always entertaining when you're incoherent.
Maybe that's why most people listen, because I'm usually incoherent.
No, usually I'm incoherent. You know what you're talking about. But you're funnier when you're incoherent.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you too.
Okay, so we have today Tony in New York and Juliet in Paris, who we haven't heard from for a while. So
welcome back.
Yes. And Christy from the website nextdaykoi.com. And Edwin, we were going to tell you a really cute little thing.
Yeah, I think we have a video of it somewhere.
I don't know why I didn't get one.
I did.
You got one?
I'm pretty sure I did, so we should put that up.
We took another trip to our aquarium here in Salt Lake, and they had baby freshwater stingrays.
They were about the size of a pancake.
They were so cute. Maybe like 3 inches or so across. Some of them were a little bit bigger than others.
Yeah, they're average sizing, but something like a grapefruit if it were
flat
instead of a sphere. About that size.
But they were very cute. And it's funny, too, because they look just like a little miniature stingray. They aren't babyish at all. You know, like a lot of baby animals look like a baby.
They're just miniature replicas of the adults, essentially.
Like proportion-wise and everything, they just like look like teeny tiny grown-ups. But
they were a lot of fun.
They were really cute.
I liked the fact that
Kelly... Oh, they had baby penguins, too.
They did. Those were also cute. That Kelly went up to the docent or, you know, whatever it was.
The little volunteer answer questions guy.
And asked
That's
all
their
about
official title.
Stingrays and which ones would be best to keep in an aquarium and everything.
Because kind of I want some.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's cool.
Yeah.
And so she talked to him about the marine species and the freshwater species and how all the freshwater species are more dangerous than some of
when
the marine
species.
When
he says they're not as nice, he says the marine ones are friendlier.
Yes.
What was the one that he said was the friendliest? Now I can't even remember. See, I don't have your memories.
I think it was the southern rays.
Southern,
yeah.
Southern
but they're also too big to fit in a fish tank.
We'll just get a swimming pool. Just a giant reef in our backyard and we can go snorkeling in it.
There you go. That sounds fun.
And it would be the cheapest thing ever in the world to set up and maintain, right?
Why don't we just buy Seabase while we're at it?
That's a great idea.
That would work fine.
See, problem solved. Do they have stingrays out there?
They have rays.
Okay, now we need to go.
Well, we need to go anyway.
I know, but now we need to go more.
So those of you really quickly who haven't heard of Seabase, about, an hour or so from here, maybe a little more now since we moved. I don't know.
Because it's out west.
There is, near the Great Salt Lake, there is a series of warm springs that are close enough to the Great Salt Lake that they end up being, they gain some salinity from the lake. And so the salinity is very close to that of seawater. And because they're warm springs, the temperature is essentially tropical all year round. And these are... There are several pools connected to these springs, and several decades ago, somebody realized what they had and began stocking these pools with saltwater fish.
They set it up like a reef, didn't they?
Yeah, essentially.
Or they, they don't have corals in it, do they?
I don't believe they have any photosynthetic corals because, or any corals of any sort, actually, because...
We probably just don't get enough sun.
The tolerances of temperature and probably also sunlight in the winter, but the temperature tolerances are of corals are not such that they can survive there. They were actually not sure whether the marine fish could survive there because the temperatures... The swings of temperature during the cold season and so on are greater than those usually encountered in like a marine reef environment in the tropics. But the fish species they have in there, at least, are able to stand it. And they have quite a few different species. They've got some sharks and some rays and no dangerous sharks. But they've got sharks and rays. They've got marine angelfish. They've got clownfish. They've got all kinds of things going on in there. So Yeah. You can go there, and it costs like $5 to get into the place. Mm-hmm. If you want to actually snorkel or scuba dive, it costs more. I think it's like $35 if you want to get in the water.
That's quite a jump.
But they have regular feedings that are scheduled that you can look at, you know, watch the fish eat and mm-hmm. different things. And we were going to go a couple of years ago for my birthday. Turned out not to work because they were having a convention during that period.
And they weren't open to the public.
Yeah, it was not going to work out. So anyway, someday we want to go. And now Kelly wants to go more because there are rays.
Yes.
So anyway, shall we on with the show?
Yes. Okay, let's go to Tony in New York first. He says, "Hello, Russ and Kelly. Congratulations on the new house and on your recent Opayula success. I am so excited." Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And he says, "My comments for today. Firstly, Matt from Perth, Northwestern Australia. I wanted to say that I've been greatly enjoying your emails. It actually blows my mind that you seem to be having such a similar experience to mine as of late. As you will recall, I have also set up a large marine aquarium, and at the moment, yes, I am also battling hair algae. My nitrates are at about 10 parts per million, though everything else looks okay. The 120-gallon, or 454-liters, aquarium has been in place for about 5 months, so I think it is still considered a new tank. I think cycling can take up to a year." Really, it takes that long in marine tanks? That's a long time.
It doesn't always take that long.
But it can take up to a year,
he says. Take a long time.
Wow. The fish, a butterfly, a flame angel, and two clownfish are doing well. I recently added 12 turbo snails to the tank to help with the algae. Actually, I should have checked the nitrates first before adding them. How unfishigonian of me. As soon as I realized the mistake, I started dosing with prime and upping my water changes. It seems to be helping, and the snails are indeed eating away, so I'm hopefully moving in a good direction now.
Cool.
I was thinking about your nitrate problem. Your question was, what could be causing it? I was thinking that the question might be better posed this way. Why didn't my biofilter neutralize it? Everything Russ said made perfect sense, as usual. Just wanted to chime in one idea, too. A dead animal would cause a nitrate spike, probably, especially if the ammonia and the nitrite are being dealt with. I have learned that because of the properties of saline water, that dead fish actually sink in salt water, which makes them hard to find, especially if the tank is full of live rock. I'm not saying this is your situation, but it might explain a spike.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
As for your clownfish fighting, yes, damselfish are wont to do that, even to the death. I am sorry that it ended badly. My two fought a great deal also. I do not have an enemy, but the clownfish claimed patches of hair algae as their territories instead. That was amazing. In any case, the fish eventually started getting along. As I type, they're swimming along together like best pals. That said, it might have gone the same way for me that it did for you. I decided to wait and see since my aquarium is large, and I hoped that this would minimize problems, and I lucked out. He says, "Ha ha, I have so much more to say, but I suppose I will save some comments for a future email. Thanks for the great show, Russ and Kelly. It may amuse you to know that I have the last 7 episodes or so on a continuous loop in my car."
It does amuse me.
That's very amusing. He says, "Yes, mostly for the most marvelous Matt Marine minutes, but, you know, the rest of your show is pure gold, too." Tony, you get the alliteration award today.
He does indeed.
Most marvelous Matt Marine minutes. That's pretty good.
That was intentional.
That was deliberate.
And intentional.
Yep.
Okay.
That was good. Okay. Thank you, Tony. It's nice to hear from you again. So, who do we have next?
Tony.
We have... Oh, more Tony. Okay. Mm-hmm. He says... Oh, because this was...
Another email
responding to the one where Gwen was on it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hello, Russ, Kelly, and now Gwen, and hello to the Aquarimax community. Chiming in today about fishy education. First on the list, of course, is Aquarimax. Not only are these shows entertaining the first time around, but they are oh so relevant on a this is funny for me to read this out loud because it's like I'm talking about myself, but he wrote it, so it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
They are oh so relevant on a second or even third listening. I don't go anywhere without at least 8 or 9 episodes ready to go on my flash drive. Plus, since there are over 250 episodes, there's bound to be a gem you'll enjoy hearing again. I'd also suggest the famous guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, of course."
Yay,
thank you, Tony.
Thank
Yay.
You.
"Other than Aquarimax, I'm a big podcast guy, so here are some of my fishy favorites. Aqua Botanic Radio is really cool. One episode even focuses on soil in the tank. I am trying to recall if they get into Miracle Mud. I am pretty sure they do this in depth." So Aqua Botanic Radio, that sounds like it's specifically about planted tanks,
planted
maybe?
Planted tanks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds cool. Other favorites include Aquariumania and also episode 2 and 5 of Pet Tech.
We're actually in 2 and 5 of Pet Tech.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
I didn't remember.
One's
that.
On filtration and one's on
Is
lighting.
Is that with Pond Guy?
Uh huh.
Ken, I can't think.
Ken Jones, the Prince
yes,
of Ponds.
Yes, that was it. Okay. That and was a while ago, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He's not doing the podcast anymore, yeah. But it's still up there.
Yeah. Because I have to mention Pet Fish Talk, which comes highly recommended and focuses on freshwater fish. In-depth discussion of everything, plus a selection of special shows on betas, guppies, discus, and more. If anyone has the early episodes and would be willing to email them to me, please let me know. Episodes from 95 through 140 can be heard on the site, but are not in the MP3 format, and episodes 1 through 94 are ultra rare since they went down with the old server.
It's so bad.
Do we have any
so
of those?
Sad.
We had some of those on
right,
a CD
but none of those
at
really
some
old
point.
Ones, though.
Oh, okay.
I wish we did. I have some of the ones from, I don't know, like after that.
After 140?
Like after 140, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're the ones that I have. But yeah, I miss that podcast.
I know. They were around for several
years, weren't
they?
They were around for a really long
they?
Time. And I think more than 300 episodes.
And it was weird because they never made any announcement of we're going to be done or anything. They just stopped.
Well, on the podcast they didn't, but on their website they did.
I know, but you'd think it's like, hey guys, this is our last episode or something.
Yeah, I don't think they had entirely decided to do it, and then circumstances sort of forced them to do it, is my understanding.
It's
kind of a bummer. I'm just sort of inferring from certain things that I knew about what was going on. I can't really say. I don't, don't really know.
But I know a lot of people miss that one.
Yep,
excuse
I do.
Me.
I used to exercise faithfully that podcast every day because it was a 2-hour show every week. So I could get my my weight workout
fishy fix.
Essentially done with those 2 hours in the week. I would split it up, and it was fun.
He says, lately I've been enjoying Reef Threads, which discusses saltwater reef aquariums in a question and answer format. A short-lived but incredible podcast for planted tank enthusiasts is Scape Foo. That's S-C-A-P-E space F-U. I mean, you know, that's how it's spelled. Scape Foo.
Yes. Like Kung Fu.
Like Kung Fu, yes.
Except for Scape.
Okay. This guy really delves deep into the specifics. And finally, another request. If anyone has episodes of the Planted Aquarium, let me know. This pod seems to no longer be available on the net, and I'd love to experience it.
Yeah, I wish I had copies of it. I think I did at one point on my MP3 player, and my MP3 player got fried. And
it was old.
Yeah.
Says, well, there's my list. What are your fishy favorite fishy podcasts? Learn a lot, listen, and enjoy. Tony from New York.
Oh, and he has a PS.
Oh, he has a PS. Yes, he says, just a quick additional note on educational resources. Matt, this one's for you. On YouTube, check out Mr. Saltwater Tank TV. He addresses hundreds of topics and has great information for the saltwater enthusiast. Enjoy.
Cool.
So there we go.
Thank you, Tony.
That's a great list.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to get people going on what's out there. We appreciate it. And thank you for including us in the list. I like that.
That's always nice. Okay, should we go to Julia and Perry? Did we talk about what are your favorites? Is he asking us or is he asking
I think
podcast?
He's just kind of opening it in general.
Okay.
And I've commented on some of the ones. I haven't commented on all the ones I've listened to because I've listened to Aqua Botanic and Aquarimax, of course. I listened to that.
You listened to us?
Aquariumania.
Really?
No, while I'm recording it. I listened to it. And Aquariumania. And, of course, while I'm editing it, I have to listen to parts of it.
I guess that's true.
I've heard a lot of cool episodes in Aquariumania and Planted Aquarium. I listened to, I think, all of those episodes. And let's see. Talking Reef. There's one.
Is that the one that he said?
He hasn't. I didn't think he mentioned reef that. Reef Threads. I don't know if I've listened to that one or not. Yeah. You know, there used to be one that I'd listened to in Italian, but they only had like 6 episodes up, but it was fun.
It was a fish tank one?
Yeah, it was
an
aquarium one,
an
Italian aquarium podcast, but there was only like 6 episodes and it was done.
Bummer.
Okay, so now, Juliet in Paris.
Okay. She says, dear Russ and Kelly, it's been a long time since I wrote, but as I had moved and had given away all my fish, it was a while before I got started again.
Welcome again. Mm-hmm. Welcome back once again, is what I mean to say.
I told you about my red cherry shrimp population that had settled in without any problem, but then after multiplying like rabbits for about a year, they all died off. First, the buried females would drop their eggs, and then their shells would split, and they would die. Then the others split their shells and died. Even setting up new tanks and getting new shrimp did not help. All my new ones died, too. Very frustrating. It is really frustrating. I have since found some wonderful sites with information on shrimp diseases and think I have found the solution. Water parameters, diet, etc. I will send you a link to the site when I find it again. My old computer died on me and I lost all my bookmarks. I hate it when that happens.
Me too.
That drives me nuts.
But we would be interested in seeing those links. Yeah. Thank you.
She says, this time I have started a nano moss tank and am growing a moss wall. I always lost my Java moss and my Java ferns would not thrive. The water here is pH 8.3 and that was just too hard. I've started a tank with mostly bottled mineral water and have a pH of around 7.3 and both plants are thriving. For the moss wall, I sewed two sheets of plastic mesh together and fixed them to the back wall and one of the side ones with those sucker things you use for thermometers and stuff.
Suction cups.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's what they're called. The Java moss is sandwiched between the sheets and is growing very well. It must be trimmed regularly if it is to get thick, otherwise it gets long and stringy and the mesh shows through. Kind of like growing a beard. This is my side note. I keep trying to convince my 14-year-old wants to grow a beard. Our 14-year-old wants to grow a beard. I keep saying, honey, you need to shave. You need to start shaving. You got like, you know, you're growing in some sideburns and you got a little mustache. He's like, no, I want to grow a beard. And I keep trying to convince him it will grow in faster and thicker if you shave, but he doesn't believe me. We should tell him about the moss. Maybe then he'd believe me. Yeah. Okay. This goes for moss growing on rocks and branches as well. It doesn't fix itself on very quickly if it's not trimmed and gets loose and gets into the filter.
Yep. It seems to make it much more, to branch much more effectively the more you trim it. And the more it's branching, it gets thicker and it works really well. I have to concur. I've done the same thing. Made the plastic mesh moss walls before. That's hard to say. Plastic mesh mosh walls.
Mesh mosh.
And I agree. I've noticed exactly the same thing. I've also done it with cork bark. I've done the moss walls with cork bark as a background instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that works as well. But both of them work. Either way, you have to trim it. And on the cork bark, I used hairnets to keep the moss back. I don't recommend that for use with all fish. It doesn't work with all fish. But anyway, with some fish, it works fine.
She says, now it grows so fast that I don't know what to do with the excess. Java fern is getting huge, a bit too huge for the nano. It's the common kind. I would have preferred the needle leaf type, but there wasn't any around and I was impatient. Never be impatient when setting up an aquarium. You will just have to redo everything if you get it wrong.
You know what? We need to put
those
that
are
in
wise
quotes
words.
And put it on a t-shirt.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
We've never gotten t-shirts done yet. We're so bad.
But I want to put that quote on there. That's Can you just read that out loud again in a somewhat dramatic voice?
Never be impatient when setting up an aquarium. You will just have to redo everything if you get it wrong.
I like that.
If we do put it on a t-shirt, we'll credit you, Juliet.
Yeah, we'll put your name down at the bottom. Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately can only get white mesh. I do not recommend this even if the moss eventually covers it up because it always shows through. Black or dark green mesh would be ideal.
Yes, and it's easier to find. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can find it at our local craft store. I don't know where. I wonder if you can find it online.
Probably.
The black or green
I'm sure you could.
Mesh. Because it does work better. It's true.
She says, I have cycled this tank for nearly 5 months now because shrimp are notoriously sensitive in young tanks. 2 months may have been enough, but better safe than sorry.
Also wise words to live by.
Yes. I did not use ammonia or fish food, but I did put in a zebra nerite. My water parameters are perfect. Next stop will be getting the shrimp. I may try blue or orange varieties of the red cherries if I can get them, mainly because my local fish store would love them. And do great trades with me for shrimp, which allows me to get most of what I need for free once I have a good population. They treat their animals very well, so it's a good deal.
That is a good way to go. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we moved too far away from our local fish store to be able to do that anymore. But I used to do that more.
Yeah, we've got now is big box.
Yeah, that are anywhere near us.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would love to try blue sometime.
That would be pretty.
That would be really cool.
She says, I will send a photo of it, as it is now, though the white mesh still looks pretty atrocious. By the way, I saw you on YouTube, and funnily enough, you both looked exactly as I imagined you would.
I think you're the first person who said that.
That is funny.
That is funny.
What did she see us on? Was it that one?
Probably the episode
video
we did.
One that we did.
Yeah, the video
with Matt
podcast
and Tony
with
and
Matt and Tony and who else was on there? Mick was trying to be on there and it didn't work.
It was
I think Sean.
In Nashville.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think we had a few more who were trying to get on, didn't work.
Yeah, that was a little buggy.
Yeah, but it was fun.
She says, I'm so glad that your daughter is getting her axolotl. I was given some years ago by a friend who was leaving the country, one of which was 12 years old, and lived another 15. Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Lauren then will be excited to know they can possibly live that long. She's really excited about it. She's decided to get a golden one.
Yeah, she wanted to get a leucistic for a long time, but we contacted the lady who breeds them here fairly locally, and she says she's out for now except for her breeding stock, so she's not selling any of those right now, but she's got a group of golden albinos, which Laurelin likes just as much. She just wasn't aware that they existed or had forgotten or something. So
she's excited about that. We should be doing that in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Let's see. Juliet says about her axolotls. They were in an unheated aquarium with only natural light. In the summer, the water could go up to 27 degrees centigrade, but it didn't harm them one bit. And they even reproduced, though I did not raise the young at the time. They fed on everything from bloodworms, earthworms, beef heart, occasional guppies, those little gray crustaceans from local ponds. I think you call them scuds.
Indeed.
Yep. Crickets from my lizard feeding station, maggots, anything they could swallow was okay with them. One was black, one the wild type of mottled green, and one was an albino. I called them the Three Musketeers because of their frilly ruffs. Oh, I like that. That's fun. Says, I hope
like
Laurelin has great fun with hers. I will send you updates on the tank with pictures. As always, thanks for the great podcast. Well, thank you, Juliet.
Yeah, thank you.
It's nice to hear from you again. Good luck with your new shrimp.
And that's good to know. 27 degrees centigrade, that's 80.6 Fahrenheit.
No, that's good. And Laurelin's room is down in the basement, right. So it doesn't really
get that hot. It hasn't gotten over 74 degrees, and most of the time it stays under 72.
Yeah, so I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this last bit, we don't have to read the whole email, but we received an email from someone who's starting a website or has started a website called
nextdaykoi.com.
And I checked it out a little bit, and it looks like they've got some cool stuff going on. So if you would like to check that out, feel free. Just full disclosure here, we're not making any money from this, and officially endorse the website or anything. I'm just saying
go check it out.
So we're giving a shout out. It's nextdaykoi.com, and it is not just for koi. It's for koi and goldfish, as well as information about them, things like judging standards for koi and so on. And the goldfish that they sell are look like from what I can tell by looking at them, and pretty good quality goldfish. Like they import them, you can get some good goldfish that way, so they're not like, you know, culls and stuff. So this could be a neat thing for those of you who are interested in goldfish and koi. So just
check it
out.
You can nextdaykoi.com.
I think that's about it for this week.
I think that is everything.
In a week or two, we should have some axolotl news.
Oh yes, we can put some pictures up when we get that in.
Yeah, but for now, I think that's about it. So
in the meantime,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.